Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message inspires and empowers you to move forward.
I just sense God's presence. Someone asked me the question, why do you have to be so passionate? Wrong question. Why do you need to be so cold? He set a fire in my heart and I'm not in the place, or I'm not in a state where I'm sort of winding back and becoming more relaxed and becoming more conservative. No, I'm getting all more fired up for Jesus. The older I get, the more I read the Word of God. Something I was just telling Sheffield this morning, the more I read the Word of God, the more I realize that I've got so much more to learn about this Jesus, and something's happening in my heart. I will get more passionate than this. I will get more undignified than this. He hung on a cross to give his life for me. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter the persecution that will come. You see, we as a church in the Western world don't know what true persecution is. People are giving their lives for Jesus every single day, literally giving their lives for Jesus. We get upset when someone calls us a name. We get upset when someone makes fun of us coming to church on a Sunday, when our neighbors or our family members give us a hard time for serving Jesus. That's not persecution. True persecution is when they hold a gun to your head. True persecution is when your wife is there next to you and they battle rape and saying, well, you deny this Jesus. True persecution is when you are locked up in prison for declaring the name of Jesus and sharing the goodness of God and being trapped in a prison, beaten. That's persecution. But people do it every day. Why? Because they understand that neither height nor depth, nor any principality, nor any power, that is, no kingdom, will separate them from the love of God, because God's done something in their life. God has transformed them and changed them and set them free. Though I want to tell you, every time I come to church during the week, when I'm driving my car and I put the worship on, I'm worshiping God. When I'm walking down the street, I am thankful for a God who's redeemed me and set me free. This morning, we're going to continue with that series, I'm a Believer. Are you a believer this morning? And I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you in your faith. I want you just to excuse my voice. I know it's a bit of rough this morning, gruff. I was going to mention a word, but my wife's standing right there and she'll go, Jim, that's inappropriate to say in church. So I won't, but I'm sounding good this morning. I am. Help me this morning. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21, reading a scripture about Abraham. Oh, I had so much fun preparing this message. Abraham, we've read the scripture so many times, you've probably come across it. In the New King James Version, it's up on the screen, it says, who, talking about Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that God, what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Fully convinced. Are you fully convinced this morning that the God who you serve is able to do what he's promised to do? I love what the New Living Translation says. It says, Abraham believed he would be the father of many nations. He had no reason for this, but he had been told, your children will become many nations. Abraham was 100 years old. His body was about dead. But his faith in God was not weak when he thought about his body. His faith was not weak when he thought of his wife Sarah being past the age of having children. Abraham did not doubt God's promise. His faith in God was strong and he gave thanks to God. He was sure God was able to do what he had promised. Scripture I want to read to you this morning in Romans 15:14 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. and overflow with confidence in His promise. I want to encourage you this morning that you would stir up your faith and your confidence. You can have confidence in a God that you serve this morning. When we look at this passage of Scripture, when we look at Abraham, we think that Abraham had grown up in a Christian home. We think about Abraham as being this mighty man of God that had served God all his life. But when you look at Scripture and you study Scripture, you will find that Abraham only had an encounter with God at the age of 75. That's when his life actually turned around. It wasn't as a young boy. No, it was in his old age that he encountered God. Abraham grew up in a family that worshiped idols. He grew up in a pagan family. And I want to tell you, he was set in his ways. Who knows, the older we become, the more set we become in our ways. But God, this guy encounters God and his life is totally transformed. What that tells me is that no matter what your age is, God is no respecter of age. You can encounter God at any age and God makes a difference. God's not concerned about what's gone before. All He's concerned about is what you can become and who you are in Him. Abraham encounters God. And Abraham, despite his age, God gives him a promise. What you don't understand is that Abraham, as I said, he is a first generation Christian. Abraham's 75 when he's called by God to leave his family and country and go to a foreign country. How many of you would like to do that? At the age of 75 or 80, God says, now it's time for you to leave. You leave all your family behind. You leave your grandkids behind. You leave your kids behind. Everything that you've worked for and served, God says, no, I want you to leave. How many of you would just pack up and go? But the Bible says there was no discussion. Abraham does not enter into a discussion with God. What he does is amazing. He just packs up everything that he has. Wife, we're going, and he follows and he's obedient to the voice of God. He even doesn't even know where he's going. All that God says, you're going to a foreign land. That's amazing. Why would someone believe a God? He's only known for such a short time. Packs up everything and he goes. And then at the age of 90, he receives a promise. Because God made a promise to him when God called him out of his land. God says, I will make you the father of many nations. And God comes to him again at the age of 90. And Abraham had decided during that time that I'm going to try and make this happen. Because my wife, as we read, her body was as good as dead. There is no way she is going to be able to bear a son. And when Sarah said, look, I don't think I can do it, but there is my servant. He got a little bit excited and thought, yeah, maybe this is a good idea. Comparing, oh yeah. But God comes to him again and says, that child or that man is not going to be the one that's going to inherit and be the father and have many nations and have many kids. The son that's going to come from you and Sarah, your union, that's going to be the son. That's going to be the promise. And so at the age of 90, he says, God, you're going to have to do something here. And God gives him a promise. Yes, it's going to happen. But then for the next 10 years, nothing happens. Has God given you a promise? And you've been wondering, what's going on, God? You've given me a promise. Nothing's happened. You told me my friends are going to be saved. My family's going to be saved. God, what's happening? God, you said that I'm going to break through in finances. God, you said you're going to bring me into the promised land. But it doesn't feel that way. God, what's going on? But something strikes me with Abraham. Oh, it does. And we've read it. It says that during that time, he did not become weak in his faith. He trusted God. And he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised he would do. Today, we have a problem with being impatient. Today, we have a problem that we think we're part of the Trinity, that when we speak a word, it should happen. The next thing, it just should happen. God, I've prayed. I just got up from my knees. Where is that money, God? Where is that breakthrough, God? Where is that job, oh God? Where is that woman, oh God? Where are those kids, oh God? Where is that house, oh God? Where are the things, God, that I've been praying for and that you promised me? We expected. But Abraham, he exhibits great patience. It wasn't just his age. It wasn't just the stage of life. No, when Abraham had a transformation experience with God, something changed in his life. You see, he came from worshiping idols. He knows what it's like to pray to something and don't get anything. Knows what it is like to pray to something that doesn't respond. It's man-made. He trusted in his own abilities. Nothing happened. But then he has an encounter with the living God, and something changes, and something changes, and something inside of him says that when God speaks, I know that I can trust him. When God speaks, I know I can have full confidence in him. I know that when God speaks, it may not happen tomorrow, but I can be confident that God is going to bring something to pass. And Abraham changes his whole mindset and he puts his trust in God. And for 10 years, something changes. While we wait on God, sometimes we give up. We let doubt come in. We let unbelief come in. We let negativity come in. But no, Abraham says, I'm going to shut the door on those things. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to trust God. The timing is God's. Because he is God Almighty and he sees what I do not see. Patience rise up with him. We get some understanding of what he did during those 10 years. The first thing it says that Abraham, instead of growing weak in his faith, he became strong in his faith. How do you become strong in your faith? It's when you focus on God. It's when you read the Word of God, not just to get something out of it, but you read it so that God can speak to you. You read it so that you are encouraged in your faith and built up in your faith. You read the Word of God. You feast on the Word of God. If you want to grow in your faith with God, if you want to become strong, it's not a formula. It's God. It's not a formula. It's God. When you want to become strong in your faith with God, then you need to get to know who this God is, and you do that from studying His Word. His Word reveals who He is. What's your diet? What are you feeding on? He moved from a place of idolatry, and he moved into a place where he was in constant communion with God. Abraham not only read his word, if you want to become strong in your faith, you need to pray. I'm not just talking about praise, help me God, because there are times that we do. But we need to pray prayers of faith. We need to pray prayers. Oh God, I know that you are able to do it. Oh God, I've been waiting on you, but I don't know, oh God, when it's going to come to pass. But God, I know that my tomorrow is secure in you, oh God. Your word says that you have a plan and a destiny for my life, for my kids, oh God. I don't see it yet, but God, I know you're going to bring it to pass. Oh God, I know that that car I've been praying for, it's going to come to pass. Oh God, I know that house I've been praying for, I know it's going to come to pass. Oh God, I know, God. Why? Because you love me, God, and you care about me. Fully convinced. Watch what you feed on. If you want to grow and strengthen your faith, newsflash, lifestyle. Grow in your faith. He became strong, not weak in his faith. Second thing is, he did not look at the promise through the lens of his circumstance. No, he looked at the promise through the lens of who God is. Who gave him that promise? It was God who gave him the promise. Who saved you? It was God. Who gave you a promise? It was God. So if God says it, he's going to do it. One of the verses that we love proclaiming is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. The key in that verse is this. For I know. Who knows? God knows. And if God has planned your life, if God has a plan for your life, you can be confident that he will bring it to pass. You can be confident that the plan that he has for your life has been so mapped out, has been so well planned. It's not just something that has been thrown together at the last minute. It's a detailed, organized plan. And if you will trust him, if you will be committed to him, He will bring it to pass in your life. You've got to see God in your circumstance. Don't make and highlight your circumstance. Highlight who God is. Abraham looked at his body. He looked at the impossibility of him ever producing an heir. He looked at the body of his wife Sarah. And yes, the fact says it doesn't happen. It will not happen. But then he looked to who his God was. He looked at the one who spoke the world into existence. He looked at the one who creates the universe. He looks at the one who sees everything. He looks at the one who's all powerful, almighty. He looks at the one who is yesterday, today, and forever the same. He looks at the Alpha and the Omega, and he looks and he sees something greater. He's much bigger than my problem. He's much bigger than my circumstance. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I want to encourage you, believe in a God. It may not come tomorrow. It may not come right now, but believe in a God. He's going to bring it to pass. The third thing is, he gave no place to doubt and unbelief. You've got to guard your heart and mind. Doubt's going to rob you of your faith. Replace the faith, the fear with faith. One of the things that I love about Abraham is that whenever God spoke, he acted immediately. He chose to serve and worship God. He chose to obey God. So many times we question God. God speaks and we go, that sounds really great, God. But we need to get to a place when God speaks. We say, God, you understand, you know everything. I'm just going to step out in faith. I'm just going to step out. God, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the situation says. God, I'm going to follow and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you, God. Fourth thing he did was he gave glory to God. He gave thanks to God. Every single day, he didn't have that somebody says, God, I thank you today. I'm closer to my promise. I'm closer to my son. I thank you, God, that you've called me to be the father of many nations. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, that you are amazing and that it's none like you. Every day I wake up and I say, thank you, God, for another day. Do you know, every night we go to bed, there are few people, there are many people who don't wake up the next morning. We have an opportunity and a privilege every single day to thank God for that particular day. The very fact that you are alive this morning is a testament and a witness to his goodness and his love for you this morning. The very fact this morning that you had a choice of what to put on, you got in front of your wardrobe and wow, oh, what am I going to wear today? You can thank God that you have choice. There are some that don't have choice this morning. You woke up and you had that choice this morning, whether you're going to have breakfast at home, whether it would be toast with some Vegemite or some Weet-Bix, or whether you would come to Harbour Town and have a feast later at McDonald's or one of the coffee shops out there. You have choice. We've got to thank God through our circumstances. What can you thank God for today? Every day, God, I thank you for my family. I thank you, God, today you've given me another opportunity that I can see your power at work in my life. God, I thank you today. I'm another day closer to the promise. I'm another day closer, oh God, to my destiny in you. Abraham, such a great example of what a believer is in Jesus. Fully convinced that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ever imagine and think. This morning, church, God loves you. The promises that he's made to you, it may seem that nothing's happening. God's at work. God's doing something. He's strengthening you. You know, when a mom is pregnant with a baby, mom and dad comes together and they don't wake up the next morning and say, where is this child? There is a 9-month waiting period. What is happening in that period? There's a change happening inside of mom's body. There's something growing inside. And then eventually you see that child. Mom's body changes. Dad changes too. Because he's got to deal with all the change in mom. And just a tip. When it's time for that baby to come forth, men, take your wife to get her nails done, get her hair cut, because when that spirit of birth comes upon that woman, you will be surprised at the transformation in that birthing suite. Those that have gone through it understand what I'm saying here right now. But something changes. And when that new life comes and you see that promise, after all the tears and the pain, there is joy and there's celebration. The wait was worth it. This morning, I'm here to encourage someone, don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your promise. Don't give up on the negativity and what the world is telling you. Believe the word of God. Believe the promises of God. God is not a liar. He will always bring to pass what He's promised. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I know here are people in this place this morning that God has spoken to. You may have felt like giving up, but I want to tell you this morning, He's for you, not against you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the negativity of those around you. Look to God. There may be a pandemic in this world, but the Spirit of God is also at work in this world. And regardless of what happens, that's not up to us, that's up to a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. I'm wondering in this atmosphere this morning if there's anyone here. You don't know Jesus, or you've known Jesus and you've wandered from the truth. You've given up because things didn't work out the way you wanted them to. And you thought that God didn't love you or that God was playing with you. God wasn't playing with you. You just need to remain faithful to the promise and the word of God in your life. Maybe it is that you grew up in a Christian home, but for some reason you've wandered away. I want to tell you this morning, God is a loving God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what stage of life you are. God cares for you. God loves you. And if that's you this morning, I want to introduce you to the greatest friend you would ever have. His name is Jesus. The Bible says He gave His life for us to restore us back into a wonderful relationship with Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand where you are and we're going to pray.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit forwardchurch.com.